We are swimming from this end, and the circle that has been chosen from here is none than number 82, rock of ages.
Rock of ages, great for me. Let me have myself in peace. Let the water and the blood flow by me, but not which one. He was sweet, that was you. With the glory, if you can come. No talent of my heart can fulfill thy mercy far. Who my glories at most, who my tears ever flow. Oh, for sake not at all. Thou must take on the world. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. May the God to the poor wretched help us to move on. To the forefront, while I do the fountain fire, wash me, Savior, oh my God, while I do the cleansing, when my eyes is walking there. When I saw the world at home, see me on thy judgment throne, rock of ages, great for me. Let me have the rock of
ages. The only place and the hiding place for each sinner. And no other place like that. And it's a song that is showing a desperate heart that the Lord has taught with his way to come to the obedience to the cross, to the grace of his calling. Nothing in my hand I can bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked I come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. How I to the fountain flood. Wash me, or else I will die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyelids close in death, when I saw the world unknown, see thee on. Thy judgment throne, rock of ages, crept for me. Let me hide myself in thee. I understand that Brother Tom Lady, who sang this song, was also an evangelist, was also a preacher. And he has some great quotations in scripture. And this is one of the most precious hymns that is sung worldwide by many people. Others they sing casually, traditionally, but others they sing this song because it's a life song. A life song. God be all the glory for such a wonderful composition, orchestra. God be all the glory. Well, I just mentioned that the reading today will come from the Gospel according to John chapter 13, and the reading from verse 1 to 25. Brother William will read for us verse 1 to 26. Verse 1 to 26. John chapter 13. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his last mile in Jerusalem, where he's going to face all that he came to accomplish for us. And here we see him 6 days just before the Passover, the Lord is in Jerusalem. Brother Willie, can you read for us in Jeshua chapter 13 of John, verse 1 to 26?
Koma akafana fike kandula pasika Yesu kuziwa kuti nthawi yake idatha yakuchoka kutuluka mdziko lino lapansi kumka kwa Atate mmene anakonda ati aiye yekha andziko lapansi anawakonda kufikira chimaliziro ipo pokhala amponera chiregezi adatha kuyika mumtima mwake mwa Yudasi mwana wa Simoni Iskarioti kuti akamupereke iye. Yesu podziwa kuti Atate adapasa iye zonse mmanja mwake ndi kuti anachokera kwa munthu namuka kwa munthu ananyamuka magonero navula mala ake ndipo mmene adatenga zokukutira anadzimanga kuchiuna mwe anathira madzi mkisambiwe nayamba kusambiza mabasi akupisa ake ndi kuwakukuta zokukutira chimene anadzimanga nacho. Verse 6. Anaza kumweko kwa Simoni Petro. Yesu ananena ndi iye, Ambuye, kodi inu mundisambitsa ine mabasi? Yesu anayankha nati kwa iye, chimene ndichita ine sindichidziwa tsopano, koma mudzachidziwa mtsogolo mwake. Petro ananena ndi iye, simudzasambitsa mabasi anga nthawi yonse. Yesu anamuyankha iye, kati sindikusambitsa iwe ulibe cholandira pamodzi ndi ine. Simoni Petro ananena ndi iye, Ambuye, si mabasi anga okha komanso manja ndi mutu. Yesu ananena naye, amene anatha kusambitsa alibe kusowa koma kusamba mabasi koma oyera ayera mosi. Ipo inu ndinu oyera koma sinonse ayi. Pakuti anadziwa amene adzapereka iye chifukwa chaichi anati simuli oyera nonse. Pamene anatha iye kusambitsa mabasi ake ndi kutenga mala ake anayesa maso nati kwa iye, nanga chimene ndikuchitirani inu muzindidikira kodi inu munditchaine mphunzitsi ndi Ambuye ndipo munena bwino pakuti ndine amene chifukwa chake ngati ine Ambuye ndi mphunzitsi ndasambitsa mabasi anu inu somwene ya kusambitsana mabasi wina ndi inzake. Verse 15. Pakuti ndakupasani inu chitsanzo kuti monga ine ndakuchitirani inu somuchite indetu ndinena ndi inu. Kapolo sali wamkulu ndi mbuye wanu, kapena mtumwi sali wamkulu ndi wotuma iye. Ngati ndikudziwa izi odala inu nonse ndidziwa amene ndawasankha koma kuti cholemba chikwaniridwe, iye wakudya mkati wanga anasalimira pa ine chitendere chake. Verse 19. Kuyambira tsopano ndinena kwa inu, chisadachitike kuti mmene chidachitika mungakhulupirire kuti ndine amene indetu ndinena ndi inu. Iye walandira amene aliyense ndi mtuma andilandira ine, koma wolandira ine alandira wondituma ine. 21. Yesu mmene adanena izi anakhudzika mu mzimu nachita umboni na indetu ndinena ndi inu kuti mmodzi wa inu adzandipereka ine. Akuphunzira ake anali kupenya amwina banza ake ndi kusikasika kuti ananena za yani, koma mmodzi wa akuphunzira ake amene Yesu anamukonda ana ndi kutsamira pachifukwa cha Yesu. Pamene Simoni Petro anamukodola nanena naye kuti muze ndiye yani anena za iye. 25. Iyeyu potsamira pomwe pachifukwa cha Yesu anena ndi iye, Ambuye, ndiye yani? Verse 26. Ipo Yesu anayankha, iyeyu amene ine ndidzamusustira ntongo ndikumpasa amene mene anasusa ntongo anayitenga nayipasa Yudasi mwana wa Simoni Isikarioti. Over to you, Jesus.
Thank you very much. That was beautiful reading our old Sheva and very clear. And exactly in certain portions of scriptures that I have been saying time and again, that through reading the scriptures such as we are doing, we have in certain instances where our eyes are caught in between the lines, and we realize what the Lord is saying. And we realize where he said what, and so it's a beauty of reading the Bible in this way, and this we must encourage. Each one of us, every time we gather together, the word of God must be read, and whilst people are quiet listening, and this I have found to be a very, very useful and very productive means of getting the word of God to the people. Listen carefully, if you follow chapter 32 verse 1, where Bible clearly says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And he said, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, unto the Father. And his supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, look at that, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he went from supper and laid aside his garment, and took a towel and gave it himself. After that, he poured water in the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel where he was given. Then he came in to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? They said, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know the day after. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not stay to wash his feet, but he is clean every week, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, and he had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? 13. Ye call me Master and Lord. And he said, well, for so I am. 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, had washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that is sent to him. If ye know those things happen, are ye, if you do them. Verse 18. I speak to you, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it once is come, but when it is come to pass, he may believe that I am he. Finally, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. 21. When Jesus had thus said, he said, troubled He was a child of the Spirit, and he testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting on who he spoke. Now there was men leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke. Verse 25. He then, lying on the Jesus' breast, said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Verse 23. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a soup when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the soup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. May the Lord bless the reading of His word, and shall we worship the Lord by singing Psalm number 89. from sin and death. They're going to the penalty of death, to the Calvary, in order to pay the sin debt of our sinfulness. We realize that in salvation, we have contributed nothing, for it has just been grace. And we know the value of the word grace when we see how it was all done. We surrender even ourselves to every point of our life, as bad as we are. It is by grace, 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 and only grace that we are saved. Such precious grace, O God, cannot be described in the known languages of the human race. But the Lord deal with our souls in whichever way. Even this moment, as we assemble before your throne, hungry as we are, beggars as we are, naked as we are, in need to be dressed up, in need to be fed up, we look at your hands for a bread. We look at you, Father Lord, for a cloth of righteousness. We look at you, Father Lord, for the medicine that will help our eyes to see. We look at you, Father Lord, for the hearts to be opened, and for the teacher who is the Holy Spirit to teach us, guide us, lead us. May you bless this hour, Father God. May even up all brother came, even as the ministers from far away, but your word shall come alive in each one of those who are listening at this moment. We praise you, we glorify you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, that's what we pray. Amen. Yeah. Brother Ken, take over from there, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. Let's take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 15, and my text today is from verse 35 down to verse 41, and I want to speak with you about when brethren disagree, when brethren disagree. We've just seen in the first part of this chapter how the church came together to agree on what is the gospel. There's no question that there is that unity of the faith where the Spirit of Christ has revealed him in hearts. We're not disagreeing over the gospel. But we have to remember that when the Lord draws sinners together, just like we are, across cultures and from different backgrounds, and brought together in Christ, yet we're still sinners. And there may be times where we disagree on certain directions or in discerning the will of the Lord, trying to determine what His will is for each of us. There may be disagreement. And that disagreement may be between two of the Lord's servants who are His servants, and yet they do not agree on the Lord's direction. Such was the case here with Paul and Barnabas. Now, they were united in the gospel. There was no question that the Lord had taught each of them the gospel, and that was what they preached. We've seen that already as they went on the first journey preaching the gospel from Antioch in Acts 13 and 14. And we see that same unity with regard to the gospel here in verse 35, where it says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. I believe that's the fellowship that we enjoy, even though you're in Malawi and I'm here in the United States. When it comes to us preaching and teaching the gospel, I have no concerns from what I hear of you that in the various congregations where you're preaching the same message, the same gospel that I preach and teach here. That unity is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word. That's what it says there in verse 35. They were preaching the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord is Christ. The matter had already been settled in this meeting in Jerusalem that salvation was by the grace of God in Christ Jesus alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. This is that same unity of which the Spirit of God directed David to write in Psalm 133. It says there in verse 1, behold, so this is something to catch our attention, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now this unity is not something that men organize. It's produced by Christ, who is the mediator. Our unity is in Christ, who He is and what He's accomplished.
Now
That's why David continues by the Spirit of God to describe it. He says, it is like, so here's an illustration, the precious ointment upon the head. That had to do with the anointing of the high priest that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. So Aaron was a type of Christ that went down to the skirts of his garments. That's his righteousness represented in Christ as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So just as David describes the unity that is in that priesthood, in Aaron, in that anointing that was upon him as the representative of God's people, the same representative, regardless of the status or statue of each individual, if they were represented by Aaron, they were united in him. Aaron was a type of Christ. And the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, that's a picture of God's grace and mercy and blessing in Christ Jesus. And it says, for there, that is in Zion, that's where Christ died. There in Zion, the Lord commanded the blessing, just one blessing, the blessing of Christ and his person and work, even life evermore. So that unity cannot be disrupted because it's in Christ. Just like the different members of our body are one, they pertain to one body. Even though you might look at your hands, your feet, your fingers, and other parts and think, well, this one doesn't look like this one, it doesn't matter. It's still part of one body. That's why Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said that we're the body all an eye. In In other words, if everybody was the same thing, where would be the ear? Where would be the other members? Where would be the mouth? No, the Lord has placed each one in his body as he sees fit. But that unity is in Christ. So this wasn't the issue with Paul and Barnabas, but you say, well, what was the issue? Look at verse 36 of our text, Acts 15. It says, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now that sounds like a very good proposal that Paul and Barnabas should return and go back, retrace their steps, and encourage the brethren in those places where the Lord had directed them to preach the first time. But verse 37 is where now the division, the divide begins, because Barnabas, notice verse 37, determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now you have to remember, back in Acts chapter 12, I believe it was Acts chapter 12, one of those chapters where Paul and Barnabas had first taken John with them, that John went back and decided he was not going to continue with them. Actually, in Acts 12:25 is where they took John Mark with them. But then in Acts 13 and verse 5, it says they had John also to minister. So in Acts 13:5, they took John with them, but in Acts 13:13, after the first stop, it says that John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So he had not even accompanied them on the original journey.
Mari in the chapter, you might have chapter 13, so you can make it over the Bible. 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 You can make it over the Bible.
Now, John was Barnabas's either nephew or cousin. He was Barnabas's family, and they were both from Cyprus. And so John returned to Cyprus while Paul and Barnabas continued their journey. So for personal reasons, Barnabas, wanting to strengthen John again and encourage him to go with him, it says determined. That's an important word. He'd already made up in his mind that John was going to go with him. So here's where we see then brethren, those that are one in Christ but disagree on the direction of the Lord. It says in verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Now, some might think that Paul was being judgmental, but Paul's thinking about the journey, and in his mind, if John abandoned us the first time and we retrace our steps and realizing that we faced a lot of persecution and the Lord has not prepared him, then he should not go. That was his thinking. And you can see in verse 39, it says, the contention was so sharp. This is Paul and Barnabas now. And their disagreement is so strong over John that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. So is it possible that two servants of the Lord separate from one another without separating from Christ? Obviously so. I can testify to that myself over the years where the Lord has taught me the gospel and given me some direction as to how I'm to preach it and where I'm to preach it. I've had some that I respect very much in the Lord that have disagreed with me, and they have thought that I should be here or I should be there. But each of us has to follow the direction of the Lord and what He determines. I have some men that I respect very much in the Lord that had I followed their advice, I would not now be preaching the gospel in Shreveport, Louisiana. They felt strongly that I ought to be in another place or even back in Africa, but the Lord purposed otherwise. And so we had a divide. And the Lord directed me here to Shreveport, and they continue to do what the Lord has purposed for them to do. This does not mean that we're not each of us united in Christ, but the Lord has directed us in different directions. And that's what the Lord used here to send Paul, and notice, with Silas. Here was, through this, now there is another that the Lord raised up to accompany Paul, and Barnabas going with John, Mark, back to Cyprus. Now the Lord has paired them in two different directions for the purpose of the gospel.
Now,
was Paul wrong in opposing Barnabas? No, he was acting according to his conscience, the Lord directing his thoughts. Even all the while, can we say Barnabas was wrong in contending? No, the Lord was directing his thoughts.
Just because they disagreed as far as direction in their lives does not mean that they were enemies. See, they're united in Christ. Those that are united in Christ are not enemies.
Here we have an expression. I don't know whether you have it there, but it's called killing two birds with one stone. If you had a slingshot and you were out hunting, and you saw two birds lined up and you could pull it back
and get both of them with the same stone, that's a pretty good hunt.
Yes, I hope that prayer here.
Now you can see here how the Lord purposed this contention to separate Paul and Barnabas so that Barnabas, along with John, go back to their hometown and the gospel be preached in Cyprus because there were sheep there in Cyprus. But at the same time, God purposed this to raise up Silas to go along with Paul to preach the gospel back in the regions beyond. It's all according to God's purpose. Now it's clear that the Lord blessed both. You see, sometimes we may not understand. We like to keep everybody together. I think about how we worship right now. What if we could all be together in the same place? But the Lord's purpose otherwise. He scattered us across the world. But wherever he's put us, there we testify to the grace of God.
How do we know that the Lord blessed both?
From this point forward in the scripture, we don't hear any more about Barnabas. The Lord used him for a time and in the first part of the preaching the gospel to the regions beyond, to the Gentiles, Barnabas was known, but when he went back to Cyprus with John Mark, that's all we hear of him. So from this point forward, Barnabas, we don't read about him anymore in Scripture. So for that reason, you might think, well, then Paul had reason, because we don't hear anything more from Barnabas, but we see where God blessed Paul and Silas. But there are two evidences in the scriptures that show that God blessed as much John Mark as he did the Apostle Paul. When Paul was writing Timothy toward the end of his ministry, he was already in prison and facing death by decapitation. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, we read only Luke is with me. He's writing here from Rome. But notice, take Mark. That's the same John Mark over whom he separated initially, and bring him with thee. And notice what Paul says about it. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. So even though the contention to begin with was great and caused this separation between Paul and Barnabas, again, it wasn't over the gospel, but in Paul's mind, a readiness on the part of John Mark to take such a journey again. But the Lord kept his hand on John Mark, and I'm sure through Barnabas, just as Barnabas was an encouragement to Paul when he first brought him to Antioch, so Barnabas was an encouragement to John Mark, and the Lord used that to strengthen him so that he would be profitable to Paul for the ministry. If I could bring this home, practically, it would be like James, for example, working with one of you. And suddenly, one of you brings alongside someone that you want to take with you and go preach somewhere, and James disagrees. He says, I don't think you ought to take him. I don't think he's ready. But the Lord directs you just the same to go ahead and take that one and go and preach somewhere. The two of you have separated as far as direction, but in the end, the Lord continues to bless James, and the Lord continues to bless you with that other person, even though at the beginning, you didn't see eye to
eye.
Maybe in the beginning, people would look at that and say, James doesn't get along with this other. The Lord used it to separate you, but now you've got two places where God is causing the gospel to be preached. The important thing in all of this is whether or not the gospel is preached. That's what's important. So when someone looks at James and this other, at the beginning, they might say, well, see, there's a division. They're not getting along. But the Lord has purposed it so that the gospel be preached through James here and the other carry the gospel somewhere else. That's the application. Okay, I think we're still having issues or problems. What I'm going to suggest is that we stop here, knowing the Lord's purpose, and the Lord willing, we'll pick up on this next week, because it does not appear that the situation is going to get any better for us. So we'll bow to the will of the Lord and commend this time to Him and what we've heard, and pray for His blessing and direction next time. Brother Willie, Brother Peter, Brother Laxon, Lord be with you, and Lord willing, next week.
Thank you so much. Let's bow to Jesus so many me.
That's it. We've got a lesson here in what it is to bow. May He grant us His grace. The Lord be with you, and Lord willing, next week.